It's time!
The shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal, number 3, Chris Mason.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chris Mason joins us now. C-Mace, we appreciate you for joining us. So I talked to Elliot Friedman a couple weeks ago, and we asked him, hey, if you were David Poile, what would you do at the trade deadline? And Elliot Friedman said, hey, between the break and the trade deadline, let the team tell you what you should do. And David Poile went on Robbie and Rex Road yesterday, said not buyers, but not sellers quite at this point. What do you think the team has shown David Poile so far since the break, and what does the team need to do in the remaining 8 games from now until the trade deadline?
I think so far they definitely, they haven't showed that this team should be buyers. I think regardless of the 8 games, I personally don't think this team's in a buying position unless you can, get a piece that's, something lateral in a sense that could either get you younger or, fill another void or another need that you have, if you can, fill somebody else's in a move like that. But, what they need to do, obviously you're missing Phil Forsberg right now. You're missing Alex Carrier, a couple really key players. So if this team wants to, get in that position where, you're trying to tell your management that, hey, give us a shot. This group, we you hear the guys say they believe in this group. And I think this year, if anybody gets in the West, I think, you have a legitimate chance. I'm not saying, the odds are spectacular or anything, but I just don't think Colorado's the same, and I don't think there's as many, powerhouse teams in the West. So I think anybody that just gets in has a chance. So if I'm a player, that's what I'm doing. I'm put in a position where I say, hey, we're fighting for playoffs. We're there. We want this. And on the flip side of that, if guys don't step out, you're missing those two players that I mentioned. If other guys don't step up and, make plays and be that game changer, and I'm talking about some of the offensive guys, Mikael Granlund, I think he's got another level to his game where he can step up and contribute a little more offensively, change the, make a play when the team needs to. Matt Duchesne's been awesome for a part of it, but he's, kind of back and forth. The consistency hasn't quite been there for the top group, and now you're getting a chance to see Phil Tomasino, which I'm sure we're all happy about. But these next 8 games, I mean, you're starting tomorrow night with the best team in the league. So if they're not ready, what's the saying? If you mess around, you won't be around. I think it's a little different terminology, but you know what I mean. So if you mess around tomorrow, that game could be over early. So they've got to come, and some of their big guys have to be the big difference makers for them.
Chris Mason is with us, and C-Mace, David Poile mentioned again in his sit down with Robbie and Rex Road, said a lot of guys aren't having career years as they did last year, and it's true. Philip Forsberg, Matt Duchesne, they had big years last year. Not seeing that same production this season, but I've kind of been going through a mental dilemma with myself of, one, how can you expect guys to have career years every single year? It's a career year for a reason. But also I think to myself, well, those guys are making a whole lot of money. So you want your big paid guys and your big men to be able to produce in a big way. So I guess it's kind of my mental dilemma. Your thoughts on it?
Well, my thoughts are exactly that. If you're getting paid that money to produce at that level, and let's say you're not getting 43 goals, well, you know what? You need 30-something. You need close to 40. I think Phil Forsberg has the talent to be a 40 goal scorer every single year in this league. Matt Duchesne showed that he could produce at that level. While, they might not reach that total or the career year totals, you got to be close to it. And it's the consistency year in and year out is why you pay somebody a long-term contract at a high dollar amount, is because you expect that level of production, especially through the prime of their career. And when you have that many players have career years, and then the following year, you give them the same setup. They had the same guys that were on the power play. They had the same power play structure. So they were given the opportunity at the beginning of the year you know, to get off to that kind of continue where they left off, and that wasn't the case. And you know, everybody knows it's not automatic. And you know, at the end of the day, those guys are gonna either get you to the promised land in the playoffs, or you know, they're gonna be a big reason why you know you don't offensively. You're talking about right now four losses that should be wins. That's 8 points. Whatever the difference is, it's only four wins, and those guys are the ones that you know are on the power play all the time, and that's the difference in hockey games. Those one or two goal hockey games, that power play and that extra production from your top players gets you four or five higher spots in the standings, and that hasn't been the case this year.
Now, Chris, how do you think Tomasino did in his first game up? Because they're gonna need him moving forward, obviously, because Forsberg is out. But how do you think he did in his first game, and what does he need to do better moving forward?
You know what? I think he was okay. I really like him as a player. I think he's one of those players that can make things happen on his own. He's very skilled. I think, you know, everybody handles those call-up situations differently. You're a little nervous and maybe a little tentative. And he said it after the first period. He's like, oh, it's a lot faster. And it takes you a minute, you know, sometimes to adjust to that. But, you know, I think moving forward, he's going to be just fine. He's already proven that he can, you know, score at this level as a rookie. And, you know, the thing with younger players is probably their consistency and, you know, some of their work on the defensive side of things. And you have to be careful with a highly skilled player that you don't want to get them playing on necessarily the third and fourth line and limiting their minutes and not putting them on the power play and special teams. But now he's, you know, he's in a good place. He started racking up the points in Milwaukee. He's ready to play here. So I thought there was some really good good moments in the game where you could see that flash. You could see his, you know, his instincts. And then I also saw a little bit of hesitation, which is, you know, a young player with a little bit of nerves coming back up to the NHL. But I think he'll be just fine. And like you said, though, D-Mace, if they're going to get into the playoffs or if they're going to, you know, start moving in that direction, he's going to be a big player for them. You know, he's going to get a big top six opportunity. He'll be on that second unit on the power play. So he's where he should be getting the, you know, the skilled chances that, you know, that suits his playing type.
Talking to Chris Mason. Mace, you look at the test tomorrow night. Boston Bruins, 2.11 goals against per game. That is number one in the league by almost a half of a goal. That's a lot. And they are number two in goals for per game, 3.7, just behind the Edmonton Oilers. So they do everything well. They've lost only 8 games in regulation time. So you talk about the ultimate test to try to put yourself out there for all the things you're saying. Like you're on notice right now. You've got 8 games to make an impression on what the season's going to look like on the other side. Still a long way to go, but man, you're testing yourself against the best.
Yeah, this is, you know, if you want to see what you're made of, you know, this is the team. It's going to be, there's no margin for error. You know, UC Saros, in my opinion, is their best player, him and Roman Josi. You need UC Saros to put in an unbelievable performance, which he's more than capable of doing, winning games by himself. But you can't afford any of those costly turnovers or those puck management decisions where you're maybe trying to, you know, make a 50-50 play to turn something into offense and it goes back the other way and you're giving up an odd man rush. This is a team that, when you're talking about the Boston Bruins, they have no weakness. They're healthy. They've got a lot of veteran high-end players that are both, you know, excellent defensively and offensively. You have one of the best, what do they call it, the perfection line. It's got everything on that line. You know, Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak, it's arguably the best line in hockey. You've got a team that defends well. You have good defensemen on it, offensive defensemen, but that team that can score goals, that is committed to defense, and then you got a goalie who is, you know, the consensus Vezina pick because he's the, you know, the recipient of playing behind such a solid team. But for the Predators, there has to be a little bit of that, I don't want to say fear factor, but just that recognition that, you know, every single play is the biggest play of the game, and that's a little cliche, but when you're playing a team like that, there is no margin for error. And then you're going to have to, you know, hope that you know, your special teams. If you get a penalty, your power play's got to make a difference. You know, last year, it was such a impactful weapon for them, and it made the difference in so many hockey games, those 2-1 or whatever, those, you know, games that are tied and your power play comes in, they get you a big goal. That's how you beat some of those teams. So I think you're going to have one of the best efforts of the season from the Preds tomorrow in order to beat the Bruins.
No question. I asked myself, too, I was looking at the salary structure of the Bruins, and I asked myself, you know, why are they able to dominate? Because they were not, you know, the favorite like this before the season. But one of the things that's really worked in their favor, they got Patrice Bergeron to come back. He looked like he might retire, and he agreed to a one-year, $2.5 million contract. So he's playing, you know, about three times
jump
that
change.
Value. Yeah, he's playing about three times that value. He's still a tremendous player at 37. And then David Krejci came back over from Czechia or the Czech Republic. He's playing for $1 million. So that's two players who are playing really, really well for them at $3.5 million. That is how you work. That's how you sort of overachieve a little bit. And they know they've got some big decisions to come after the season. So this is going to be really interesting to watch them from here on out, see if they can take advantage of what they've put together.
Yeah, exactly. But that's a situation where your team like Boston, I mean, how many years have they been a top team in the league where guys will go there and they'll take less money because they have a chance to win a Stanley Cup? So, you know, guys aren't going to go, you know, to other teams and you know, sign those same kind of deals. And obviously Bergeron and Krejci have the ties to Boston, but they come back, they're like, you know what, look at this team. Like if I come back and we can fill a, you know, the void a little bit more in certain areas, defense or goaltending or whatever the case may be, or some depth forwards, I'm going to take less and I got a chance to win a Stanley Cup. So, you know, that's just a lot of years of success and building the team, you know, the right way to get to this point where they have that option. So, you know, I mean, they're the favorite to win, you know, the Stanley Cup. The East is stacked with powerhouses. So they're hopefully going to beat each other up, but I mean, this is a team with virtually no weakness. I mean, it's the Preds are going to have to bring. They're going to have their best effort of the season and really, you know, focus on the defensive side of things. But you can't just sit back and try to defend these guys because they'll just, you know, they'll just buzz around the offensive zone. They're just too good. So I think, you know, that counterattack mentality is going to have to be something the Preds really use. Try to, you know, have success in using against the Bruins.
Chris Mason, we appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat with you next week. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
All right, thanks, C-Mace. Speaking of the Predators, Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue starting at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal. Plus, you can get autographs and pictures. Preds player guests tonight will be Juuso Parsonen and Tommy Novak. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports.